This is the Europe Report with special correspondent Kanaan Lipschitz.
Kanaan, are you there?
Hi, Simon.
How are you today?
Good. How are things down south?
Down south. We're tapering off into the Christmas season. Everybody's in a mindset of holiday. The weather's great and life is good. It's a good place to be. You're freezing to death up there, I presume.
Sure am.
So talking about that, tourism to Poland, why is it increasing? Why is Israeli tourism, of all things, increasing when the Polish government is making it clear that they've got issues with all of this?
Right. It's something that surprised me as a frequent traveler for work to Poland. I visit the place at least three times a year on commemorations, and this has been going on for years, covering events and also Jewish community life for JTA. Keeps bringing me back and a bunch of us Jewish reporters, because, you know, Poland is where it all comes back to,
sure.
Right? 3 million Polish Jews, 3.3 million Polish Jews before the Holocaust, the largest Jewish community in Europe, just eradicated, annihilated overnight almost. So that keeps reverberating and bringing us back. And little by little, over the past few years, I noticed I'm hearing more Hebrew on the streets. Yeah. And it's just on markets and in shopping malls. So not at necessarily the Warsaw Ghetto or Nozick Synagogue, which is the only synagogue that survived the carpet bombing and the mortar fire in Warsaw. And it turns out that it's just skyrocketing tourism from Israel to Poland. And it's a combination of things. First of all, there's a good base of 50,000 people who are coming for these heritage sites, right? And that's been going on for 20 years. Does South Africa have March of the Living delegations?
Very much so.
Yeah. So kind of the same idea. But in Israel, you know, high school students, the ones who can afford it, it's a staple trip on the senior year or maybe the penultimate when you're 17, 16. If you're living in an affluent community in Israel, you go on these trips. You visit Auschwitz. So that's a steady stream. But then recently with Poland being so affordable and the aviation scheme of Israel opening up, there are all these flights to Poland. It's becoming a shopping mecca. So you have, for the first time, Israelis who are coming and they're just spending the days at a mall. And I met one of them, Adi Cohen from Petah Tikva. And I told him, hey, are you going to visit Auschwitz? Are you going to maybe see the synagogue, the ghetto? He told me, no, bro, I'm not into the whole Holocaust thing. I'm here just
to
have a good time.
To be kidding me.
Cheap cocktails, you know.
Concentration camp in the morning, mall in the afternoon kind of holiday.
At least that used to be the case. Now, for many, the Holocaust part is completely off the menu.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're just coming to have a good time, and I'll promote it. Warsaw as a shopping paradise in its in-flight magazine earlier this year. Not a word about the Holocaust or the Jewish heritage sites. But it's not like this isn't affecting Jewish communities in Poland. It is. In Lublin, which is in the country's east,
yeah,
you have this Yeshivat Chachmei Lublin, very famous institution. And it opened up in 1930. It's a huge building. It was revolutionary, because it was the first, you know, yeshiva or Talmudic university with dormitories. And they gave it back to the Jewish community. They restored it, and now it's a hotel. It's not a kosher hotel, but it has Shabbat elevators, and it's attracting Jews, and it has an Israeli restaurant. So you see the Jewish community and other entrepreneurs in Poland cashing in on this increase. And let me just throw real quick a few numbers so it's not to make it more concrete. There was a record 250,000 tourists coming from Israel to Poland last year.
Quarter of a million,
surpassing places like Amsterdam and Paris, not New York, but very popular destinations. They go to Warsaw. They go to Gdansk. They go to Wrocław, all these places. And it's a 79% increase just in 1 year. And before that, the year before, it jumped 40%. So it's really an incredible, dramatic jump.
Come on. I mean, I've been reading a lot of press quite recently, a couple of months ago, about the Polish government threatening to press criminal charges or legislate to make it criminal that any assertion that Poland was involved in the Holocaust in any active way is a crime. I mean, that clearly has had no effect on Israelis deciding, well, I don't feel like supporting them.
Right. So that was an important aspect for me to find out on my trip to Poland in September. I wasn't going to leave it with the shopping mall rats. I also went to people who were a little bit more informed about these things, and I chanced upon three childhood buddies, Lea Hirsch and Naftali Hirsch and their friend Gabby Schwartz, in their 60s. And they were born in Hungary, and then they booked this holiday long in advance. It's the first time in Poland. And they're educated people, former lawyers, one is an aviation professional. And they booked this trip, and then this whole thing came down, and they went with reluctantly, actually, they told me. And Sarah Hirsch, who's lost three grandparents in the Holocaust, she said, I'm not going to do anything but study and mourn, and I'm not going to come back ever again. But as she started touring the place and meeting people on the ground and talking to their drivers and talking about specifically this, the aspect you mentioned, that Poland seems reluctant to acknowledge the complicity of some of its citizens during the Holocaust. And slowly she comes from Hungary, right? So she was exposed to the complexity of things, of how 3 million Poles who weren't Jews were killed along with the 3 million Polish Jews, and how Poland, unlike most of Europe's occupied countries, wasn't even invited to collaborate. So Ukraine could send volunteers to the SS. Latvia, Lithuania were avid collaborators, but Poland was Generalgouvernement, so was really under the strictest form of occupation, and some would say genocide. And that stands at the root of why the Poles are so offended that when you say Polish death camp, which they said was the reason to legislate this prohibition on speech.
Poland is my pet favorite subject, because I'm absolutely transfixed by the whole history, by the whole story. Going on one of these March of the Living things, I think, is up there with one of my my highest bucket list things to do. So a question I want to ask you, Knan, is as an Israeli, as a Jew, what does it feel like to be in Poland?
It feels eerily familiar. The kupnik soup, if you have Polish roots, that your grandmother used to cook for you. You have all the foods, the sights, the little bits of language, the mentality, even body language, and it feels instantly at home to a person who grew up in Israel in the 80s and before. And I think that's part of the allure also. There is this frigid European mannerism that exists elsewhere in Hungary. And people, when you say you're Jewish, many elsewhere in Europe, they kind of freeze. There's an icy silence. Not in Poland. There's a great affinity, despite all the staring and attempts to use the Holocaust to instrumentalize it for politics.
But Knan, it was worse than that. I mean, the little bit of Polish history that I've known is, never mind just the Holocaust, just sounds like I'm minimizing it. I'm not. But when the survivors went home to go and reclaim their properties, they were killed. In the 1960s, there was tremendous anti-Semitism again. I mean, this is not something that seems to have been rooted out of Polish society.
This is true. You're referring to the Kielce murders of 1946.
That's exactly.
Jewish refugees, Holocaust survivors, who were put in a housing project. One day, the villagers came with a pitchfork brigade and butchered them. In something that spurred on mass immigration in 1968, again, a government-led wave of anti-Semitism designed to expel the very few that remained. But then, Simon, that's the story of Eastern Europe in general. You had these things all over Eastern Europe. And
what, when they went back?
Poland,
did you have this when they came back after the war in places other than Poland?
Yes, in Hungary, there were pogroms. In Ukraine, there were pogroms. But because we share this, you and I, we share this fascination in Poland, I think it, in a way, placed a spotlight on the country, and we tend to focus on that. I'll give you another example.
Yeah.
The law, the infamous law that Poland passed in January this year.
Yes.
Well, Lithuania, Ukraine, Latvia passed those very similar laws in not so long ago, a few years ago, and that went by with relative silence. So there's a very understandable special interest in Poland, but I don't think there's a special anti-Semitism in Poland.
That's really, really an interesting take, and it's interesting from you who's so close to it, because we tend to, I suppose, you read what you want to read to a certain extent. The other thing about Poland that absolutely fascinates me is this element of rebirth, of people who had no idea that they were Jewish or had Jewish parents or ancestors, who seem to be discovering now their Jewish heritage.
Right. That's a very important phenomenon that's taking place mostly outside Warsaw, in places like Łódź, in the country's center, and in Krakow, the country's south. Places that, with the exception of Krakow, places that didn't have a very established Jewish history. In Krakow, actually, there is a Jewish community center that Prince Charles of Britain, I think, where was it, 10 years ago, inaugurated.
Yeah.
And that has become sort of a magnet for exactly these people you mentioned, people, young individuals in their 30s and 40s, whose parents, because of the lessons of the Holocaust and because of the orchestrated campaign of anti-Semitism you referred to, they wanted to have nothing to do with Judaism. They didn't even tell them they're Jewish, only on their deathbeds. Or maybe it was a family, a secret that everybody knew but nobody spoke about. Now, with the fall of communism and the opening of this JCC, Jewish Community Center, that stands out like a lighthouse in the city, with free Wi-Fi and ping pong tables and Shabbat dinners and all these social engagement activities, they're coming back into the fold.
And klezmer music. Could you refer to this as, I mean, is this tens of people? Is it a phenomenon? Is it hundreds? I mean, how significant is this discovery of self?
Well, in Krakow, the Jewish Community Center has about 700 members, and about half of them are halachically Jewish, so people with longer ties to Judaism. So I'd say in each city like that, there are a few hundreds. And you can see that it's a substantial amount of people, because Shavei Israel, which is a group that focuses on exactly these populations of people who want back into the fold of Judaism, they sent envoys to not one but two Polish cities. They maintain a presence there.
This is that Michael Freund's organization I think you're referring to.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think Poland will forever hold a very, I wonder what the correct word is, not special, invidious, I don't know, unique place in the Jewish heart and in Jewish history. I cannot imagine where there was ever a bigger flowering, and I can't imagine where there's ever been a worse disaster than in Poland, and probably only normal that we have ambivalent feelings towards it.
Absolutely. You know, I want to just tell you one personal account. When I was 16, and went on this trip, I wrote in the guest book of one of your museums a very hostile message that I'm ashamed of now. I wrote, your pain is the shadow of my wound, which is a Leonard Cohen quote, which I thought was cool back then. But over the years, I've come to overcome this anti or negative attitude to Poland. I think there's much more to discover there.
Well, that's nice to leave it on a positive note like that. Kanaan, thanks for spending an extra bit of time with us. I truly found it fascinating and look forward to more next week.
Thank you, Simon.